Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue our study on the subject of prayer. You know that our theme of our church is this year, In Everything by Prayer. And I do hope that you have enjoyed the messages throughout this year. I hope they've been a blessing to you in your daily prayer life, okay? Now, here's my desire, my hope, if you will, that if you didn't have a daily prayer life at the beginning of the year, that maybe now you do. Okay, that's one of my hopes and desires. And if you did have a daily prayer life in already in place, that maybe it has increased in quantity. Maybe you were 5 minutes. Now you're 10, okay, or 15. As we go through this thing of prayer, I hope that as we peel back all these layers, because, listen, to say that, yes, I pray, okay, that's not enough. And that's not enough understanding of this very complex word, this very complex act, if you will. Prayer is not just prayer. It's prayer. Okay. It is so much to it to unfold and to unpack. And so we're going to continue to do that today. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at these first 8 verses once again. And today we're going to talk about the posture of prayer, the posture of prayer. Okay. And that's an important element that we're going to look at today about prayer. So let's read responsively. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I'll begin in verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Well, here we are. I want you to notice here, we're going to use basically verse 5 as a kind of a text, if you will. But I want you to notice what Jesus mentions. And we've talked before about the record of the scriptures. There are only so many things that can be contained in, if you will, one book, right? And you please need to understand that in all the dealings of Christ during his 3.5 years on this earth, and all the other things that God has included in the scriptures over the course of around 6,000 years of human history, you have to understand that they all can't be contained in here, right? So why then does God choose to use this particular space with these particular sentences, words, accounts in scripture or stories, etc., right? They all have a purpose. Is everybody okay with that? So he mentions this particular thing, and he says here, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So as I look through scripture, and I noticed that, and I hope you understand this thing of posture. How many of you understand the definition of the word posture? Okay. And please understand this, There's a physical definition of the word posture, right? How many of your mothers told you to fix your posture? I see so many of you just went like this. I love it. You all are fantastic, okay? That's exactly what I wanted to happen when I did that, and you did it. You guys are great. I love this. Okay. Yes, I mean, you know, shoulders back, right? You got it. You sit up straight, get, you know, good line and all that stuff. And I mean, exactly. So now all of you are sitting up so much nicer now. Isn't that great? Doesn't that feel good? Okay. We're going to pray that God would give us the funds to put in, ergonomic seating with little airbags. We can puff up and get your, no, we're not going to do that. Okay. How many of you would vote for ankle massagers that you can put your feet in? Yeah, man. Okay. All right. Anyways. Okay. But posture is in a physical sense. Let me just ask you this question. In a physical sense, is good posture beneficial to our health? And the answer is yes. Okay. We have a coach back here, Coach Nicholas. Coach, is good posture important for sports? Absolutely. Okay. Did you see how emphatic he was about that? Because that's true. All right. He's been helping the boys with some technique things for football camp. And I mean, when he has them get down into their stance and he has them put their feet a certain way and he has them with their back a certain way and all their body parts so that they can be successful playing football. Okay, that's all important, all right? So, as I begin to think about this, and please understand that the scriptures are very clear. They're very precise, they're very specific. There actually are instances where the Bible talks about prayer and standing. Okay, that's a thing. It actually talks about prayer and either bowing or bowing the head. It talks about that. The scriptures talk about prayer and kneeling. Okay? It talks about that. And then the scriptures also talk about prayer and falling on the face in prayer. Okay, so those are all the different instances or circumstances, if you will, in a physical sense, attributed or associated with prayer. Now, not only is posture a physical definition, but did you know that the word posture has a spiritual or mental definition? Right? Our posture, could we have a certain posture in our mentality or in our spirit? Right? We can, if you will, being proud or humble. That's posture. Okay? Countenance, our countenance towards something is kind of our posture towards something as far as how we look, right? Or our spirit, our actions behind, the heart behind what we are, right? Everybody understand that? Our spiritual posture. So if you think about these things in prayer, and we're going to go through each one of these in the examples in the scriptures, but here's what I want you to get today. We have, yes, physical postures. You see me here as we start the service. I'm standing and praying, right? Is that wicked and sinful and horrible? No, it's not, right? Okay. But is it a posture of prayer? And is it for a specific purpose? It is, okay. Have you seen someone maybe standing or perhaps even kneeling and they bow their head or they bow themselves to pray? Okay, that's a posture, right? Kneeling to pray, a posture, right? And then maybe you've seen, or perhaps you have yourself been in a particular circumstance where you've fallen on your face before God to pray, okay? So we have those physical aspects, but they're also associated with the mental or the spiritual or the heart matter of things in prayer. Standing, if you will, to pray, bowing our spirit to pray, kneeling, which is a submission, right? Or complete and utter throwing ourselves at God, right? Falling on our face to pray. So do you see the connection there between the physical and the mental, the spiritual, in this thing of prayer? These are all postures. And we need to kind of develop and learn what they're all about as we look at them. So take your Bibles, first of all, and turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. As you do, I'll reiterate the text when Jesus says that we should not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Here we are in Luke chapter 18. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others." Now, first of all, I want you to understand that what are we talking about here? We're talking about the spiritual disposition, right? Of either being humble or being proud. Is everybody okay with that? Right? That's what this is talking about. So he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. All right, we're in the parameters of learning about prayer. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. So here we have the physical posture of standing, right? But we also have the spiritual posture of standing. All right, he's proud of himself. And he's if you will, standing before God, and he's, if you will, taking a stand toward God. Does everybody understand the attitude here of this man? All right, so this is his posture in prayer. Did he go to the house of God to pray? Yes. Who is he praying to? Some false idol or some false god? No, he's praying to God. But what's his posture before the throne of God? Not only is he standing, but he's defiant, right? He's proud. He's carrying with him I forgot the word I wanted to use. He thinks he's something special. And he's not doing it for God. He's doing it for all others to see him, just like the Bible says in Matthew. Don't be like the Pharisees, the hypocrites, who stand to be seen of men. So this is his posture. It says here, he said thus with himself. And I love this. He says he stood and prayed thus with himself. So is he really making this prayer for God's benefit or for benefit with God? No, he's doing it for benefit of himself. And this is what he prays. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Wow. I mean, the audacity to come or even to think you're coming before Almighty God. And by the way, I don't know if you are like I am, but every time I go to God, I feel a little bit ashamed. And sometimes I feel a lot of bit ashamed. Because I know who He is, and I know who I am. And I don't even deserve to be there. When I look at His holiness and His righteousness, and I look at myself and I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? We really ought to feel that way. Now, he doesn't feel this way, obviously. He says, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Don't hurt yourself, right? And that's what he's doing the whole time. But do you notice his posture? He's standing, both physically and spiritually, before God. And can I tell you something? That is not the posture to have when we come before God. Now, you may be able to come and stand before God, because we'll talk about this in just a moment, in your physical state. Like I said before, to stand before God and pray is not a bad thing. We'll look at some good examples. But the spiritual posture. We ought to be humble before God. Not
standing before God in our spiritual posture. So look at the publican. The publican, what was he doing? He was standing. Look what it says, standing afar off. So this again proves my point that the physical posture of standing before God is not an evil, wicked, horrible, terrible thing. But look at his spiritual posture before God. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So was his spiritual posture one of that of standing? Oh, no. His spiritual posture was one of brokenness, of humbleness, bowing and, if you will, kneeling before God or even falling on his face before God. That was his spiritual posture. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, here's the spiritual posture. The scriptures explain it to us. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, is that talking about the physical posture? Not necessarily. It's talking about the spiritual posture of prayer. This is a great story, a great account in scripture. Both men went to pray. Both men, if you will, were physically standing. But in a spiritual aspect, one was standing and one was kneeling or bowing, right? And so we see that one was exalting himself and one was humbling himself. And that's what we need to realize in prayer. If you were to come and to pray before our service, you probably to be, if you will, not in a bad way, to be seen of the people, which that's okay, right? But we're all bowing our heads, so you're not really going to see anyways. But if you stand here exalting yourself in prayer, is that the way to pray?
No.
To be seen of men, is that the way to pray? No, that's how the hypocrites pray. But to pray, reaching out and talking to God on behalf of the people, in humility, bowing or kneeling or falling on your face before God, is the right way to pray. In the spiritual sense. Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. The sister passage of scripture for this is 1 Kings chapter 8. This is Solomon in his prayer of dedication for the temple. And I'll read from 1 Kings also, but I want you to see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Now Solomon is the king. Everybody okay with that? Does a king have a certain position in the kingdom? He does. You may say it's a pretty important one, right? As the king, all right? The highest position possible. So, as the king, in a kingly way, what is the king supposed to do? Supposed to lead, to rule, right? By the way, should the king be seen of the people, if you will? Yes, okay? In battle, many times the king would lead, right, into battle, etc. What was David supposed to be doing when he got in trouble? Yeah, it was a time when kings were supposed to go to war. He stayed home. He wasn't supposed to do that, all right? So Solomon here, by the way, he has been given this position, much like, if you will, I have been given a position of leadership and authority here in the local church. For me to come and stand before you and lead you in prayer is the right thing to do. Okay, so in a physical sense. By the way, I want you to know, I don't do it to be seen of you. All right? And that's the right spiritual motive, if you will. I don't believe Solomon did this to be seen of the people. He did it because of his God.
And that's what we need to remember in the spiritual sense of our posture. So look here in verse 12. He says this, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. So we see Solomon coming. He comes up to before the altar and he's in the sight of all the people. And he spreads forth his hands. You say, well, that's, he's trying to get attention, right? Because you all know me. If you tied my hands behind my back, I wouldn't be able to talk, okay? I talk with my hands, right? And so you say, here it comes up. And remember, the New Testament tells us that Solomon was arrayed beautifully, right? His robes and he had great wealth, etc. So here comes this pompous king, right? This guy who wants coming before the altar in front of all the people and all his grandeur, and he spreads his hands out, right? Are you imagining this sight here? You say, well, that's the wrong posture here. Well, not for the king. What's he trying to do? He's trying to gather their attention. For himself? I don't believe so. How do we know that? Well, if you read, I don't have time today, but if you read all that he prays, you can very quickly tell it's not for that. In the attitude of his prayer, the spiritual posture of his prayer. But he does this, and as you're looking at that, just stay right there, because we're going to get to verse 13 in a second. Over in 1 Kings 8, it says this. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Okay, so it gives the same account in both verses. Everybody okay with that? We're on board so far. All right? In 1 Kings, it goes right into the prayer. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants and such and so forth. He goes on with this prayer for another 30 verses or so in the record of Scripture. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, in verse 12, we see the same thing as in verse 22 of 1 Kings 8. But in verse 13, we have a little more of an explanation. Look at verse 13. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood. So it's giving us a little description it said he was before the altar of the Lord, but specifically where was he? If this pulpit were the altar, we know, was he standing in front of the altar, like right here? Now remember, he was the king. He wasn't going to do any sacrifice to the altar, right? That wasn't his position. So where was he? Well, it gives us definition that, because you know, I can be before something, right? But how far? How far away am I? Well, it says here he was in the court, and he was on a scaffold, a brazen scaffold, which was lifted up higher. Now, by the way, is this an important time in the children of Israel's history? Absolutely it is. And is it important that they be united as one people? Yes. Whose job is that? King Solomon's. Okay? What is he trying to unite the people in? Prayer. To whom? Their God. So in order to do that, what does he need to do? To be seen. Okay, so we have some details. So he stands there, and did he stand before the people? But watch what he does next. It says here, and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. So in all the sight of the people, he gets down on his knees before God, and instead of beckoning to the people like this, he's beckoning to God like this. What is he? He's setting forth an example, right? He's showing the people his humility before God.
We're not given that detail in 1 Kings 8. Because if you look at verse 14, he says, "And said, O Lord God of Israel." We go here in verse 23, "And he said, Lord God of Israel." Okay, so 2 Chronicles gives us a little bit more of an idea of the posture, the spiritual posture of Solomon. If you just read 1 Kings 8, you'd think that he was all pompous and kingly and praying to God and like the Pharisees. But that's not the case. So our spiritual posture is important. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus is giving the disciples a little lesson. And he says unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So this is good so far, right? Jesus speaking about faith. He's speaking about praying. He's speaking about the power of prayer. All of these things. And then he makes this statement. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now again, I'm acute on these things of the words of Scripture. Did he just say, when ye stand praying? Yeah. And that's the physical posture, is it not? When he talks about in Matthew chapter 6, he says the hypocrites stand in the corners and in the streets, right? When he talks about going into your closet, does he say to kneel, to sit, to lay on the floor, to stand? No, he didn't say that, did he? But does he says stand. Oftentimes, our physical posture does affect our spiritual posture. But not always. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, perhaps, have been driving? And you just felt the need to pray. Right? And you close your eyes and kneel down and pray. Let me just give you a little bit of a community service announcement here. That's not a good idea. Okay? You might end up before God personally if that's the case. And you may have taken somebody else with you. I've prayed with my eyes open. Right? I've prayed in all kinds of different circumstances in a physical sense. But what's important to remember? Our spiritual posture. Our spiritual posture. Now, a few things about bowing down. In Genesis 24, this is the Bible record. We just read this in Sunday school about the servant of Abraham. He bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. You remember that Abraham's servant was charged with a very great task. Not given very many details. Not necessarily given any addresses or phone numbers of Abraham's family over back in Ur of the Chaldees in that area of the world. And he goes on this long journey and he says, "God, I don't have the Google Maps version that's correct to lead me to this place. So you're going to have to help me here." And when God does work it out exactly to how God ordained, the man, in not only in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, bows himself before an almighty, marvelous, miraculous, amazing God. And that's the posture that we have. When we bow, it's in great respect, right? How many of you understand the Asian cultures and the thing about bowing, right? It's a symbol of respect, right? And that's what that's the spiritual attitude we need to have before God. Whether we're standing, whether we're kneeling, whether we're on our face before God, we ought to be bowed to God. Does God deserve honor and respect and adoration, and yes, he does. All of those things. And he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." It's a miracle. And he acknowledged that not only in his physical disposition or his physical posture, but also in his spiritual posture. In Exodus 4, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Folks, when we realize what God has done, when it hits us in understanding, what are we going to do? We're going to bow our heads. We're going to bow to God. We're going to honor him and reverence him and respect him as he deserves to be. In Exodus 12, it says that ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and all the people bowed the head and worshiped. You see, all these things are connected together. Not only the posture, that posture of bowing brings our spiritual posture into the right respect toward God. Because we recognize, we realize who and what he is. In Exodus 34, we see another instance of the people of God bowing their head. And Moses is talking to God, and God is with Moses there in the cloud in the tabernacle. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." Now let me move along quickly, since you're listening so slow this morning. You're really not. Kneeling. In Ezra chapter 9, I want you to understand how Ezra felt here in this instance. How would you like to be a prophet and nobody listened to you? Right? That'd be kind of a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Here's Ezra's account. "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard." Wow. Or I should say, ow. Right? I mean, anybody give a good tug on this stuff? Kind of hurts, right? "And sat down astonied. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonied until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens." Do you see the standing? It's okay to stand before God. But we need to bow ourselves in respect toward him. But there are sometimes, folks, where in the posture of prayer, we kneel before God. Do you see the progression here? As we get closer to God and we get to realizing more and more of who God is and what God is. You can't see me over there. I'll get over here. We actually get down to our knees. This is a place of submission. Not just a place of respect and fear and reverence for God, which bowing ourselves to God certainly is. But now I'm on my knees. I did this at a camp once to help the girls. I'm always about helping girls, especially when they play sports against boys. I had all the boys play volleyball on their knees. Can I tell you, that's tough. Right, was it tough, guys? I know you still won, but it was tough. Okay, and it was absolutely hilarious to watch them do that. Okay? Now, all the moms hated me because I ruined all the jeans and everything of the kids. Well, but can I tell you something? It's hard to do things down here. Knees are not made for walking. They really aren't. I mean, this is hard. Ow. I'm going to get on the carpet. This is not a good state to be in, right? How physically agile and effective am I going to be on my knees? Not. I'm kind of vulnerable. Does everybody understand the posture, the spiritual posture? When we're on our knees, are we strong and mighty and valiant and proud and all? No, we can't be. We're humble before an almighty God. We're not on equal footing anymore, right? We never were. You understand that. But we don't think we are because we're on our knees. We're vulnerable. That's that level of humility that we need to take into prayer. How do you think, how does it sound like Ezra felt? Pretty vulnerable. As he fell on his knees before God because he understood their sin, he understood their depravity, he understood where God was and where they were, and it dropped him to his knees. And that's how our spiritual posture should be before a holy, holy, holy God. In Psalm 95, David says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." There's that reverence, right? Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. When we realize who and what He is, it puts us to our knees. Not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense as well. Isaiah 45, "Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, all ye, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." When mankind realizes who God is, it drives him to their knees. Daniel, as he prayed, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In Luke, we see that Jesus, as he was in the ultimate turmoil, he kneels down and prays before God. In Acts, we see several accounts where Peter and Paul and the apostles, they go from place to place and with people. They get down on their knees before God. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's that spiritual posture. I don't know whether to make this another sermon or to finish today. I don't know. Let me just give you a couple of verses. There's one step further that we can take in our spiritual posture. And that's on our face before God. This goes from standing, which is not a bad thing, again, unless you're standing against God in pride, in the spiritual sense. But then bowing ourselves before God, and then falling on our knees before God, to actually going on our face before God. In Numbers, the people of Israel were in a dire situation. And in order to understand their position
As God's glory came down, it caused them to fall on their faces before God. Can I tell you something? In a spiritual sense, as far as our spiritual posture goes, that's the ultimate. When we get to the place where we fully take in all that God is and all that we are and figure out that comparison, there won't be anything left. You won't be able to stand before God. You won't be able to bow before God. You won't be able to be on your knees before God. You'll be on your face before God. Because you can't get any lower than this. If I could go under the platform, I would. But I can't. Because that's as low as we can get. On our face before God. When there's nothing else to do, what do? We get out our face before God. I hope you're understanding that as Jesus was teaching, this spiritual posture in prayer, standing, bowing, kneeling, on our face before God, is a process. It's circumstantial as far as the circumstances of life. But we need to understand them and experience each of these in prayer. As we go to God and we develop a relationship with God, can I tell you something? In Matthew 26, we read in Luke how Jesus kneeled down and prayed. But we know that in Matthew, it says he went a little further and fell on his face. That's Jesus' account. So not only did he kneel, he went from kneeling to falling on his face. This was a big deal. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, right? We understand the pressure and the significance of this event. Elijah was in this circumstance and he fell on his face. Actually, in his account, it says he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. In 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And he fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You see, this thing of falling on our face before God is complete and utter surrender, that there's none else but God to help. I think that we should take heed to what Jesus says. Consider the posture of our hearts toward God, whether standing, bowing, kneeling, or falling on our face before God. These things of prayer are real. There's examples in the scriptures of them. And that Bible record ought to be enough for you to say, I wonder why God put that word stand, or put that word kneel, or put that word bow, or put that word fell on face. I wonder why he decided to include that in Scripture. What does that mean for my prayer life? My circumstances? The posture of prayer.